أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have the honor to begin a new series of lectures and lessons on Islamic beliefs. Today, God willing, we are going to present the technical, lexical definition of religion, and then religion in the light of the Quran. Later on, God willing, we will be talking about the principles and the secondary issues of Islam. It means that what constitute the fundamental principles of Islam, in what are the branches or secondary and peripheral issues in Islam. So I do appreciate you, dear listeners, to keep watching us till the end of the program. You know that there are numerous definitions. I mean, technical and lexical definitions are available for religion. In typical dictionary definition of religion, religion means belief in, respect for the sacred, reverence for divine or supernatural beings in existence. Deen or religion in lexical definition means submission, obedience, and retribution. The technical definitions of religion is a unified system of beliefs and practices related to sacred that try to educate and manage the human affairs. So the technical definitions of religion includes three important phases. The first is the collection of beliefs or a system of beliefs. And second, that is practical orders and commandments. And the third is ethical values and ethical norms. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, this was the technical definitions of religion. But the main and the core issue in this respect is that all these series of systems of beliefs, commandments, and ethical values should come from divinity. So religion and the Quran, you know that all these three meanings that we have given for you, we have presented for you, dear listeners, about the lexical definition of religion, the Holy Quran has also implied the word of religion in these three senses. As we said, one of the meanings of religion or deen is retribution. Almighty Allah has said, Maliki yawmi ddeen. Almighty Allah is the owner and possessor of the Day of Judgment, where the good and bad deeds will be retributed. This is first. Secondly, Almighty Allah has implied the word of religion in the sense of submission and obedience, like دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Another important sense or concept that has been used, the word of religion, that is the divine law or sharia. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. So in this place, the word of deen has been used in the sense of divine law or divine rulings. So about the technical definitions of religion, I should remind you, dear listeners, that sometimes the Islamic theologians and the religious scholars have defined religion absolutely without taking care of its righteousness or its falsehood. Sometimes they have defined this. In this sense, they have defined religion as belief in a sacred and supernatural being, making no difference, it should be one, two, three, without taking care, without paying heed to the number of supernatural beings. They say that religion means this. But sometimes the theologians and the philosophers of religion have defined the true religion. It means they pay heed to the rightest aspect of this religion. It means that this religion should be the rightest and should be the valid religion. So due to this, they have defined that religion is an organized collection of beliefs, practices, and ethical norms. It means that the righteous religion should consider and should observe all these three aspects of human life, meaning that the religious laws and the religious doctrine should prevail over all aspects of human life. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, Islam being the final and rightest religion includes all these three important dimensions of human life. Islam does have practical commandments. It does address our beliefs, and it talks about the ethical issues. So one of our listeners might ask, or it might click the listener's mind, that why we have to restrict religion in these three spheres. The response to this question is that religion in general, and Islam in particular, has a very close relation with the human's existential needs and necessities. Because of this, Islam has many commandments in respect with all humans' dimensions. Islam addresses our ethical values, our practical issues, and those which refer to our thoughts and reflections. So you know that the Islamic doctrine firstly purify human's thought. It means those fundamental principles of Islam, which we call Islamic beliefs, they address the human's thought, so their thought should be purified. If the humans think and believe that there might be two or three gods, so Almighty Allah tries to purify this concept, proving that there exists only one God. Secondly, Islam also addresses and gives some practical prescriptions for the humans so that they have to earn a happy life in this world. And thirdly, there are numerous ethical do's and don'ts in Islam. Islam does not ignore or overlook either of these aspects. It matters most because of this that Islam has a comprehensive look in approach towards all these existential needs and necessities. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, in this series of lectures and lessons, we sometimes face with two important terminologies. The first is usuluddin, as we translate it as fundamental principles of religion or Islam. And secondly, furu'uddin, which we found it is equivalent as secondary or branches of Islam. Let me define what usul means. You know that the word usul is the plural form of asl, which means root. Here we mean that the base and foundation of religion is related to these principles. Now, those fundamental principles of Islam may differ in respect with the faction or school of law we follow. But there is a consensus amongst the Muslim intellectuals and theologians that there are three important fundamental principles in Islam, and they are monotheism, second, prophethood, and third, life hereafter or resurrection day. But according to the Shi'ite dominant reading of Islam, there are five fundamental principles of Islam, and they are as follows: monotheism, divine justice, prophethood, imamah or leadership, and life hereafter or resurrection day. It means that we have a particular point of view in respect with the divine justice and imamah. We enumerated them as fundamental principles of Islam. Why? Because of their high and their remarkable significance and impact in different fields of jurisprudence, economics, politics, and different fields. Because of this, the Shi'ites, important clergies have called them or have enumerated them as fundamental principles of Islam. So you might ask us that what is the difference between secondary or peripheral issues, I mean furu'uddin and usuluddin, are the fundamental principles of Islam. There are two basic and striking differences between fundamental principles of Islam, I mean usuluddin, and those of the peripheral and secondary issues. The first is that in fundamental principles of Islam, we are not allowed to emulate or to imitate others. We ourselves in person should be convinced of those fundamental principles. In secondary issues, we can imitate a religious authority, which is called marja taqlid. But in fundamental principles of Islam, you are not allowed and you are not given this permission to emulate and to follow other figures. Rather, you yourself should prove it by yourself. It means by conscience. It should be satisfactory for you. You have to be convinced of all these fundamental principles. So in monotheism, in prophethood, in life hereafter, and then in divine justice in imamah, you are not allowed to emulate and to imitate others. Rather, you yourself should go and seek those valid answers and valid arguments about these fundamental principles. They should be rationally justified. They should be logically justified for you. Otherwise, if you imitate, if you say that I have accepted all these fundamental principles of Islam because of my father's sayings, or because of my colleague's suggestions, or because of my friend's recommendations, or because of my forefather's subscription, for sure, none of these will be acceptable. None of them will be working for you. It matters most that in fundamental principles of Islam, you yourself should be convinced of. Otherwise, it will be in vain. The second most important difference between these two is this, that if a person does not accept one of the secondary issues in Islam, he will not be excommunicated, or no one would say that he has to be excluded. He is not able to be excluded from the Islamic territory or realm. Or no one can say that he has changed or he has gotten as a disbeliever. This saying cannot be labeled to him. We cannot label him as non-believer. But for sure, he who does not believe in Resurrection Day, in prophethood, in monotheism, for sure, he cannot be called a Muslim. Yes, if a person does not believe in those particular items of the Shi'ites, such as Imamah in divine justice, he is still Muslim, but according to the dominant reading of the Shi'ites, he cannot be called a Shi'a. But for sure, he who wants to be called a Muslim, he has to remain firmly committed to the first three important components, which are monotheism, prophethood, and life hereafter. But he who desires to be called a Shia, he has to believe, along with those three important ones, the divine justice and imam. It is very much important to be kept in mind. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, at the end of the program, I would like to have a very short summary of what we have said in this lecture or in this lesson. Firstly, we presented to you, dear listeners, the lexical and technical definitions of religion. And we said that there are numerous definitions. And we said that religion in lexical sense mean submission, obedience, and retribution. And also it has, in dictionary definition of religion, it has come belief in sacred, belief in supernatural existence, or reverence for sacred and divinity. The technical definitions, we have said that religion is an organized collection of beliefs, practices, and values to sacred. And then we said that the theologians have either defined religion in absolute form, irrespective of their righteousness or it is falsehood, and sometimes they have defined religion considering, observing this point that he has to define the rightest religion. So in this sense, we have said that Islam, being the final divinely revealed religion, is an organized collection of beliefs, practices, and commandments which address three aspects of human life: the beliefs, the ethical values and norms, and those rulings and practical behaviors. So Islam, being the final comprehensive religion, address and cover all these aspects of human life. And we said why Islam covers all these issues. We say that Because Islam commandments has a very close and serious relation with humans' existential need and necessities. Then we came and said that there are two important terminologies, and that is usuluddin. As we said, we have at least said that it is equivalent in our series of lectures are fundamental principles of Islam, and then furu'uddin, secondary or peripheral issues of religion. And we said there are two important differences between fundamental principles of Islam and those of the secondary issues. The first was this, that the fundamental principles of Islam can never ever be emulated. You are not allowed to imitate others in respect with the fundamental principles of Islam. But you are allowed and you have been given this permission and allowance to imitate a religious authority in secondary jurisprudential issues. It makes no difference. And then the second most important difference between fundamental principles of Islam and those of the secondary issues was this, that he who does not believe in fundamental principles of Islam, he can be excluded from the Islamic realm. But he who does not accept one of the secondary issues, he cannot be excluded from the Islamic realm. And finally, we touch this important view that according to the Muslim theologians, there are three important fundamental principles of Islam. That they are monotheism, prophethood, and life hereafter. But according to the Shi'ite dominant reading of Islam, there are five major principles of Islam, or there are five fundamental principles of Islam, as monotheism, prophethood, life hereafter, and divine justice and imamah. He who does not believe in imamah and divine justice, he cannot be called a Shia, though he can be called a Muslim. So, dear listeners and respectable audience, this was the first lesson we presented for you. May God bless us all a happy life in this world and a happier life in the next. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.